we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into WMIE 91.5 FM. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on behalf of Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we've got a great word that we want to share with you today out of Isaiah, the 54th chapter. We do want to give a shout out to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. 536-5804 for any of your block work or concrete work needs that you might have. Give them a call and they can get you fixed up. They've been in Brevard County for a number of years and do great work. In fact, I was talking to a person on the phone last week who had spoken at our church, and he said, Pastor, your property, it looks really, really good. He said, even your sidewalks look professional. And I was like, out of all the buildings I've ever been to, I've never really thought about complimenting anybody on their sidewalks. But that was what this guy mentioned. He said, even your sidewalks look professional. I said, well, thank you. That's because we had a person in our church that do it, but he's a professional concrete guy. And so, They really do fine work, and I encourage you to give them a call if they can be of benefit to you. 536-5804. So we got all sorts of exciting things going on. Sunday morning is going to be our kids' Christmas production. Saturday morning we have our men's Christmas breakfast. Sunday night we have our church Christmas dinner. That's an RSVP event. If you are coming, please let us know so that we can prepare the appropriate amount of food. It's our gift. I was describing in church on Sunday how I remember our very first Christmas dinner. It involved the four people in our family and two other people. It involved one rotisserie chicken and a few sides, and we all gathered around a little card table that was in the foyer of the church. That was the Christmas dinner in 1992. It is a much, much more lavish event now, and it's something that we really look forward to. That's going to be Sunday night at 6:30. We also have our kids or our Christmas Eve communion service. That will be Christmas Eve at 6:00. It's one of our regularly scheduled events. We look forward to it every year. We read the Christmas story. We sing a bunch of Christmas carols, we celebrate communion, and then we go on, and a lot of times people go out and look at Christmas lights and stuff like that. Then Christmas Sunday, we are having service that will be at 11 o'clock that day, no Sunday school, but we will be having Christmas service, and I've got a message that I'm going to be sharing. We'll be a little bit more of abbreviated service because a lot of people have Christmas morning traditions of what they do as far as opening gifts and things like that. We wanted you to be able to do that and still come and worship at the house of the Lord. So that's what is going on Christmas Sunday. And I pray that you'll put those on your calendar for events coming up. We got a lot of exciting things that are going on currently. God has been saving people, the church has been growing. It's a really exciting time and a privilege for me to be the pastor of the church. But we are also believing God for greater things in 2017, which brings us to the word of God this morning in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. I want to begin reading it. We're not going to touch on every verse in this chapter, but it is a great chapter. It's a faith-building chapter. It's a chapter that gives you hope, even if you have experienced a great deal of heartache and disappointment in life, if things do not look well in the natural. This is a verse, or this is a chapter that God can use to speak forth into your life and give you a great deal of hope at this Christmas season. Verse number one says this: Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood any more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. We're going to go ahead and stop there. Doubt we'll get past that verse today, and so we'll just stay in the first part of the chapter here to focus on what God's laid upon my heart for today. There are a lot of times when we see people who are extremely fruitful, who are extremely productive, and everything appears to be going well in their life. There are other people that it looks like they're in an extreme state of barrenness. They have no natural source that it is going to be able to change that environment from a fruitless to a fruitful endeavor. But I want you to know that the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is not based upon what you are naturally gifted with or what your natural resources are. God is a supernatural provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And his provision is based upon his heart, his compassion, his purpose in your life. It is not based upon the environment in which you were born into or the environment in which you currently find yourself located. I would much rather be in the will of God and facing challenges than I would be out of the will of God with no challenges and not getting to experience the breakthrough moments of dynamic relationship growth with my Lord and Savior. And so right now we are experiencing a year of increase at Merit Assembly of God. We're very thankful for that, but it is a different season than the seasons that we went through that were extremely challenging. You know, years when 40% of the congregation moved away. You know, this year we are seeing a year where the church has grown by 40%. We're very thankful for that. So you got to remember seasons. God has seasons. As long as the earth endures, there will be springtime and winter. There are springtime and fall. There will be summer and winter. There will be seed time and harvest. There are different seasons, and God is God over every one of those seasons. The world would tell you that if you don't have everything that everyone else has, if you don't have more toys than the Joneses, if you don't have the newest car, the coolest clothes, if you do not live in the best neighborhood, that all of the superficial things that this life has to offer, that you don't have any reason to rejoice. But here God calls out to people who have, you know, their children have been carried off into captivity. At one point in time, they were one nation, then they were two nations. One nation got carried off. The other nation is now in a shrinking pattern. They're not experiencing the glory that they once did. And many of their people have been carried off captive. And he says, what I want you to do at this point in time is to realize that I'm getting ready to change the dynamic, and you are going to have a reason to rejoice that you're not going to be able to understand. You're not going to be able to see how it was done in the natural, but I want you to go ahead and begin to start rejoicing now. Christmas is a season of rejoicing. I rejoice not just because of how circumstances are, but I rejoice because the God of all the earth holds my circumstances in his hands, and he has told me that the future is with him, and therefore it is a great future, and so I can rejoice. God promises that this person who has no natural ability to reproduce or cause descendants to come, that they are going to have more children, they are going to have a greater impact on the upcoming generation than people who are going through the process naturally. I have several people that I have known through the years. I can think of a couple right now that they do not have children of their own, but they have impacted countless numbers of children. Young people have been discipled and encouraged to grow in the faith. People who have made major impacts on the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you that their reward in heaven is going to be great. You see, these people are not fathers as the world would describe them. They are fathers as God would describe them, as spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. People who are speaking words of life, making positive impact, and they are bringing people out of the captivity of sin, and they are bringing them into the freedom and liberty that is available in Christ Jesus. And I tell you that great is their reward. They have great reason to rejoice. They are not sitting around wringing their hands, moaning about what they don't have. They are celebrating in the influence that God has enabled them to speak into the lives of others. I've got very dear friends of mine who are pastors, and they have literally touched thousands, if not millions. The number actually could be in the millions. They have impacted civilizations that were going through civil war. They were strategically positioned by God to be able to impact that region for Jesus. I'm telling you that you can rejoice today because God wants to give you the ability to influence generations. I'll be honest with you, my wife and I, we are now at the stage where reproduction and having more babies is not in our future anymore. Thank you, Jesus. But that does not mean that God has diminished our heart for children. We right now are rejoicing as we see our children's ministry and our youth ministries growing, and we are speaking. My wife pours in countless hours. My kids pour in countless hours. And the team that we have at the church, our children's ministry and youth ministry team, and the butlers who are leading those ministries, they're pouring in countless hours because we want our community to be blessed by children growing up with the knowledge of God in their life. And so even though we're not having more children, we're very excited that we're still being able to influence children, and we rejoice. So this Christmas season, do not go around moaning and groaning and complaining about what you do not have. Rejoice in what you do have. And I tell you that when you begin to rejoice with what God is doing in other situations, you will find that he will give you a situation that is going to be able to cause you to rejoice even in the natural sense. So verse number 2, it says this: enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. This is a command to enlarge that is not given to a people where there is natural increase, but God-given increase. And it involves preparation. It involves vision. It involves hard work. And God says, I want you to lift up your eyes. I want you to see that the current confines that you have, that they are insufficient to meet the responsibilities that I am going to be able to give you. And so right now at Merit Assembly of God, we have what we consider to be some good problems. We have a number of classes that are going on, and right now we have multiple classes going on in the same classroom. That's a little bit of a challenge. And so we are looking in ways that we can enlarge and reconfigure. Sunday night was just very exciting to me. We had a tremendous missionary that came and spoke to the adults, and we had a handful of adults that were in that service. But in our fellowship hall, the youth were meeting, and what was going on there, they were just about bursting at the seams. And I walked upstairs to get something. I had a gift that I needed to give to a couple that had come that night. And when I walked upstairs, our junior Bible quiz program that we were running, they were actually doing a Christmas movie that night, but I didn't know that. But walked upstairs, and they were surrounded there. They couldn't get too many more kids in there. They had a room for a little bit more, but it was very exciting to see that as a pastor, that I'm living this verse right now. I am praying, God, give me the vision of how you want me to proceed with this situation. And so if you want to know how you could pray for Merit Assembly of God, you could pray for me that God will give me wisdom, that he will give us favor, that he will give us direction on how we can meet these challenges that are because of the blessing and the provision of God. We're not moaning. We're not complaining. We're saying, God, we just don't want to mess this up, and we want to be good stewards of the increase that you have given to us. So he says, you're going to have to enlarge your tent. You're going to have to stretch out the curtains, and you're going to have to do it to the right. You're going to have to do it to the left. And he said, don't be sparing when you do that. You know, when I read this verse, I think about the widow woman that was commanded to go and borrow vessels from her neighbors, and that she was supposed to pour of the oil that she had. She was supposed to pour into the containers, and that it would not be exhausted. And she continued to pour, and she filled container after container after container. And she said, bring me another container. And they said, we don't have any more containers. And that's when the flow dried up. What if I told you that God's desire was to give us increase, and we need to be people of faith that says, okay, God, we're willing to go through the process of increase, and we're willing to grow and stretch and expand as much as you would have us to do that. We're willing to go through all of the steps. You see, if you were going to stretch your curtains, you would do it a panel at a time. You would take what you were at, and you would sew another panel, and you would anchor it to the ground. And then you would add another panel, and you would stretch it out even further. And the further that you went out, the higher you would have to go. And so there's a process that God wants to use. By the way, I will tell you this. This Sunday, we are auctioning off my appearance for January. I've had several people comment, this first time I've ever grown a beard. It wasn't a thing that I deliberately set out to do. It's just, hey, you know, I didn't shave for a few days, and it's like, hey, it looks like I might be able to grow a beard here. And it created so much conversation that I decided that since the thing that I love is missions, that I would use the fact that everybody had an opinion on whether my beard looked good or whether it didn't look good, that I was going to use it as a fundraiser for missions. And we, once a month, we have a missions offering for our Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. Right now we're raising money for solar powered generators to be able to be taken to the most remote portions of Africa, to churches that are there, and they can become the center of activity. We've put water wells in many of these places so that the church is the place that people come for fresh water. And there's not a tremendous electric grid there. And so now we go and we're giving them a power supply that, as when the sun shines, it recharges the battery, and then it generates power and it generates light throughout the community. And so that's what we are doing this week. And the reason that everybody had a comment was because they looked at it, they saw something different than they'd ever seen before. I'd never had a beard before. And everybody had an opinion of it. But here's the thing. When the process was beginning, they had one opinion, and now many of them are changing their mind because the process is a lot more manifest. The process can be an ugly thing. That step from vision to implementation, it can be a messy situation. You've ever been around a construction site, you might see a beautiful home as the finished product, but the process of getting it there was dusty, it was dirty, it was messy, it was noisy, it was crowded, there were all sorts of people there, but it eventually takes shape into a finished process. And so we're going to take advantage of this process that I've had, and we're going to raise money for missions. The same way, the same process God uses. A lot of times we want to think he will just speak the word, snap his fingers, and it will become manifest. But I want you to know that God is not an internet commerce business, where you click on it and a couple of days later it shows up at your door. God is looking for you and I to grow and to mature in this process. And I pray that you are growing and you're maturing. And so he has chosen to work with us. It said that his intent in bringing the children of Israel into the wilderness was that he would teach them his ways, and he would teach them to war. And he would teach them how to defend themselves, and he would teach them what it was like with divine provision, and then he would teach them what it was like when they had to work the ground for themselves. There's a process. Don't underestimate the process, because if you short-circuit the process, you will not reap the benefits of the short-sightedness. When I was young, I played football, and part of the training for football is learning how to run. And so I had a running partner, and my running partner, we had a lot of turns. We had plotted out exactly how far it was where we were running, but he would short circuit the process. His desire was to cross the finish line first, whether he was the fastest or whether he wasn't the fastest. And so whenever we would come to the corner, instead of running down the sidewalk, he would make it a triangle, cut across people's front yard, and not realizing that he therefore was not going to get all of the benefit of the running. He might cross the finish line first, he might get the accolades, but he wasn't going to get the benefit. The process is important. On Sunday morning, I preached a message that the prophecy of Jesus' birth indicates that God has a plan. He's in control. He had a plan for Jesus' birth. He had a plan for Jesus' life. He had a plan for Jesus' death. He had a plan for Jesus' resurrection. He had a plan. He has a plan for Jesus' return. He has a plan for your life. And his plan, it always involves preparation. It always involves other people. It always involves precision. It involves timing. And his plan always has a purpose. It's true. God doesn't do anything for window dressing. Everything that he does is utilitarian. It has a purpose. It has a function. And so after I preached that message, I went home. I was thinking about the God of precision and the God of timing. And that's one of the big issues that we struggle with is, God, why is it taking so long? Why have I been asking for this and I haven't received it? Why? And I as I thought about that, I realized that there were three truths. We could be praying for something that God doesn't have that for us. He has something better for us. And so if you are concerned about not getting the answer to your prayers, one of the things I've always told my kids is we don't always want the things that we think that we want. The things that we want at a particular season in life may be not an asset, but a liability. They may be a hindrance and a burden later on down in life. And God knows the beginning from the end. And so he knows what is perfect for you. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. If it is not in my life, it is because God, in his in unlimited wisdom, knows that it is not in my best interest for that to be in my life. Now, there could be things that God wants in your life. And there could be two things that are involved in those things not manifesting right now. The first of those is you might not be ready to handle it. You might not be ready to handle it. You need to be growing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You need to be, God's not going to give you something that is going to destroy you. And so I want to encourage you, if it's not there, you need to say, God, is there some preparation? Is there some stretching that I need to be doing? Is there some growing that I need to be doing so that I am ready for this increase or ready for this answer to prayer that you have coming my way? The second is quite simply that the answer is in the developmental process. It is something. Jesus was 700 years from Isaiah's prophecy to Jesus' birth. There was 400 plus years where the children of Israel did not hear a word from Malachi unto Matthew. It was a very silent period of time. It wasn't because God was not working on the scenes. He was preparing not only the children of Israel, he was preparing the world governments at that time, so cross-cultural ministry could take place, cross-cultural communication could take place, so that the gospel could be taken to the ends of the earth. The thing was that the answer to the prayer was in the developmental process. God is always working behind the scenes. And so today I want to challenge you, don't limit your faith. Believe that God is going to supernaturally give you a reason to rejoice, and he's going to increase your influence, not just naturally, but supernaturally, so that you can speak into people's lives. But you need to be ready for it when it happens. Enlarge, study, read, pray, grow, become the best you that you can be. Prepare your facilities, prepare your heart, prepare your finances. You've got another stage of life that is coming. You don't need to wait until you get to that stage to prepare for it. Prepare now and prepare for it to be glorious in Jesus' name. God bless you. You have a marvelous day of increase. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.